Well, listening to Bill's talk is kind of a good segue into this. Much like Bill, I mean, I'm not a trained soil scientist. I'm presenting some information from some of the soil scientists in our group. But I do realize the importance of soil fertility and soil science in making some of our management decisions. So I'd like to recognize our some of the co-author here, Ronnie Snell, Dennis Coker, Dale Mott, Tony Proven, who runs our soil testing lab, and then Jake Mowers, our new extension soil fertility specialist. And basically what we've been doing for the past several years is working to see if we could identify management zones within one of our production fields there in College Station, Texas, actually closer to Snook in the Brazos Bottom. But, you know, a lot of the history there has shown that some of the residual nitrate can be credited down to 2 feet in depth, and Hans published some of this information, and then Chris Main, along with the extension cotton specialist, did this work across a lot of site years just a couple years ago, and did identify that, you know, we can credit it. And basically what Chris Main identified is across the entire cotton belt, it was not a significant interaction between environments. So he was able to pool all those locations across the cotton belt and credit nitrogen down to 2 feet. Of course, other advantages to crediting this nitrogen, possibly less PGR, earlier harvest, possibly less insecticide, and possibly less harvest aids. And then ultimately what we're getting at is cost savings to the producer. Back to the comment earlier is from Wayne is not putting the fertilizer out there if you don't actually need it. In this case, it would be for nitrogen. And this picture here is one from Chris Main's location in Tennessee a few years back, looking at some of the different nitrogen rates. We also had some seeding rate or some seed size incorporated in this. But you can see some of the differences in the plants here. But essentially in this plot, there was no difference in yield. So we got to get our producers used to seeing some of the yellowing that Bill was talking about earlier. Just because it's a little bit yellow doesn't mean we're actually losing yield. And ultimately what we're kind of getting to in this project was, even though the information's been out there and Mark McFarland and others from Texas and again across the cotton belt, you know, there were over 100 site years proven that we can credit nitrogen from the soil. But if you look at the adoption rate, really the only people I know that have done it are those that had NRCS incentive to take some of the soil samples. So what we were trying to do with this project is use the Veris measure in soil EC and get to a lower sampling scheme using those zones and identify sampling schemes to reduce the number of deep profile samples that we're taking, hoping that that would encourage producers to use some of the deep profile sampling and credit that nitrogen. And this is just a visual of what you may have if you have a grid sampling system versus on the right where it could be sampling based on some of these zones identified from the Veris machine. In this case, it was soil EC. So our overall objectives were to determine if the Veris can be used to identify nutrient management zones in cotton for alluvial soils there in the Brazos Bottom, and then determine if the Veris can be used to identify soil delineation zones and target soil sampling regimes that would increase the adoption of soil profile nitrogen crediting. The way we conducted this study, the Veris was actually run by Helena across these fields. We wanted it commercially done. They were running on about 70-foot swaths. It was done in 2013 when the study was initiated. At those locations, we collected soil samples down to 48 inches, 0 to 6, 6 to 12, and 12-24, 24-36, 36-48. So we have all the soil information, soil texture, soil nutrient levels at each of those increments at the locations in these fields. And the field we're talking about today is in a cotton-corn rotation. So 2013 was cotton, 2014 corn, 2015 cotton. And this is a limited irrigation field. This is a soil EC map, and Ronnie put together a lot of these slides, Ronnie Snell. But basically on the left there is just showing the correlation between soil EC and clay content. Again, nothing revolutionary there. Soil EC is highly correlated to clay content. We don't have any salt problems or things like this in this particular field. But even then, it's not a really great R-squared value, but we use that and move forward. And basically the way we delineated this, zone 1, 2, and 3, and you can see there, this is the mean clay content, percent clay for each of those management zones. Zone 1, about 25% clay. Zone 2, about 30% clay. And zone 3, about 35% clay. So we wanted to determine if we could measure and use these zones to measure deep profile nitrogen and credit that. So in 2013, after the Veris information was taken, again, gone in and take the deep profile samples. This is the distribution. So zone 1 here on your left, again, about 25% clay, more of a sandier soil. I think it's interesting seeing the nitrogen distribution down through that soil profile for these soils with different clay content. So on the sandy soils, and this was about 100 pounds of nitrogen in each one of these zones, deep profile for 0 to 48 inches. But you can see the overall distribution of that nitrate within that profile varied quite a bit. So the recommendations currently are crediting down to 2 feet, but going down to 4 feet, especially in the sandier zone, you can see that we had a lot more accumulation, especially at that 36-48-inch zone. Again, not majorly surprising, but I think it's interesting seeing the distribution of that in this particular field. And again, this is the cotton crop following a 2012 corn crop. And these are the yields from those seed cotton yields from those zones in 2013. More of a dry year for us. Again, as the clay content increased, the yield also significantly increased. And again, on a dry year, with the clay having higher water holding capacity, not a major surprise there. Going into 2014, we went into these soil management zones. This happened to be corn in 2014. Went into those soil management zones and superimposed nitrogen rate treatments over those, and then of course at the end of the season went back and harvested those plots to determine what the yield was. Nitrogen was banded in as a side dress at 0, 90, 155, 180, and 200 pounds of nitrogen. 60-foot plots, 4 rows wide. These are the soil profile nitrogen from those management zones for 0 to 24 inches. Basically 31, and then the zone 2 and zone 3, the higher clay content zones, had similar residual nitrogen there. And this is the yield response for corn, looking at those different zones, the blue being zone 1, green zone 2, and the gray zone 3. You can see the yield response there kind of matched up with what the recommendations would be, and the crediting that nitrogen where yield was kind of maximized at that 160 to 180 pounds or kilograms per hectare in this situation of nitrogen. But in the sandy soil situation or sandier soil, we didn't actually reach the top of that plateau or may not have reached the top of that plateau even for those higher nitrogen rates. So giving nitrogen credit, basically we exceeded our yield potential with the nitrogen applied and probably took advantage of some of that nitrogen that was deposited down in that soil. Moving on to the cotton results, we did the same similar situation, superimposed the nitrogen rates over the different soil zones, and looked at the response, looking at 0, 25, 50, 75, and 100 pounds of nitrogen in this situation. This is the residual nitrogen, again, not from the corn research plots that we had before, but just where bulk corn was grown. This is the residual nitrogen we found in the 0 to 24 inches for those zones. Being zone 1 and 2 were very comparable with 40 part per million there. And then the zone 3, the heavier clay zone, a little bit less. But again, quite a bit of residual nitrogen following that corn crop. And these are the yields for cotton in those same management zones. Again, zone one is the sandier soils in blue here, and then zone three is the gray in the middle as far as yield goes, and then zone two was near the bottom. But the interesting part is basically we maximized our yields in zone two and zone three. Zone three in particular, we didn't get any yield response at all in that particular situation. 2015 happened to be a very wet year, and I think that's why these heavier clay soils just didn't perform as well. They stayed saturated too early, while those sandy soils drained a little better and had a higher optimum yield there. So on the zone two, we maximized yields with basically no nitrogen, just using the residual there. Zone three, it was in the no response. Zone two maximized yields at about 70 kilograms per hectare. And then zone one, the sandier situation, we maximized yields at the highest nitrogen rate there and exceeded the yield potential that we had estimated for there. Again, that sandier situation utilizing some of that residual nitrogen that was in that profile. And for zone one, there was 45 pounds of residual nitrogen in that situation. So again, it always depends on weather. We've seen both extremes in this situation where the dry year, the cotton yields, the clay soils did better, and then a wet year, the sandier soils. So it's going to be hard to estimate what kind of response we're going to get from this. But I think one of the important things is that the Varis can be used to effectively identify spatial variation in clay content, and then we can identify management zones based on those texture analysis. And we can modify the deep profile nitrogen sampling recommendations, not so much that we can predict what's going to happen, but we do need to treat each of these types of soil zones differently. And sampling is going to need to occur in each one of those management zones. Previous recommendations were to basically take samples across the entire field, composite those, and then credit the nitrogen. I think this shows fairly consistently that we're going to need to be a little more spatially sensitive to the different textures in that field and what kind of nitrogen crediting needs to go on there. Yield potential interaction between soil texture zones and moisture was definitely a big deal here. In these particular fields, we've seen some pretty extreme situations. In these given years, we were looking at yield data. Ronnie Snell, his point here was developing the sliding scale texture base for nitrogen crediting, and I think we need to take that into account when we're sampling some of our fields and try to identify various regions of those fields and credit accordingly. So with that, that's all I had. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try answering those. Yes, sir. That was the shallow EC measurement that we were using for these correlations here. 6 inches, yes. Yeah,
Wayne. Just out of curiosity, David, did you look at the web soil survey map of the same field?
We have looked at it, but we haven't, I guess, statistically compared them to see how closely correlated they are, Wayne.
The reason I ask that is because it costs money to run this.
Oh, yeah.
It costs nothing to use web soil survey. And if it's a soil variation, in your case, texture, generally, the soil break out by the texture.
Sure.
They don't necessarily Mississippi and alluvial soil, but a lot of the country does.
Yeah. And the reason we initiated this study, actually, Wayne, we've kind of changed our objective to some degree, was determine the value of Barrison to begin with, because they were charged anywhere from $14 to $21 an acre for Barrison in our area, and trying to identify if there was actually a value associated with that for the producers. And then now it's kind of morphed into this nitrogen deep profile type study. All right, thank you very much.